Thank you for taking the time to download and listen to this free podcast from Celtic Underground. You can subscribe and like and listen to your podcast wherever you pick up your podcast feed. You can also subscribe at theCelticUnderground.substack.com, where you will get email notification of new content as soon as it is out. And you can subscribe for free. There'll be plenty of free content, articles and podcasts. But also, you can pay a small subscription and you'll get extra special content. Anyway, enough of me. On to today's free podcast. I'm now joined by Andrew Smith. It is 10:30, so we've just sat in two different places and watched Brendan Rodgers being interviewed. We're just saying it's one of those episodes of Doctor Who where all the doctors are there at the same time with all the Celtic managers on the pitch, all saying how marvellous being a Celtic manager is.
All it was missing was Gordon Strachan, then we've got the whole kind of Champions League set, isn't it?
Yes.
The best nights in the Champions League.
Which one's Tom Baker and which one's John Pertwee?
Oh, I think it has to be Martin Still, Tom Baker. You know, there's something quixotic about him, you know, something kind of slightly eccentric. Yeah. Martin even was wearing a scarf tonight, so even completed that whole picture.
He was, actually. Yeah, he was. So, game's just finished. Andrew, what's your takeaway? What's your synopsis?
Just as the three managers were saying, you know, that you can have nothing but pride. I mean, like, if somebody told you 4 months ago when Celtic got battered 7-1 in Germany, they'd say, oh, you come back here to the team that's five places above this team, and they've got a much richer European pedigree, and you'll take them all the way to the last 40 seconds to go to extra time. You'd say, nah, we've seen this before. We've seen this, remember all the stuff post that game? It's like, Rodgers hasn't learned his lesson. Oh. He doesn't know how to play in Europe. He's only got one way of playing. There's no plan B. Look at the growth. Look at the growth of this team.
Who'd have thought all these online people who write that would know fuck all about football?
I'll tell you, I'm sitting here. Does it go backwards? It goes backwards, but I'm still drinking my tea with pride. Celtic are magic. That's what the cup says. Barra's special for the 80s, you know. So,
do you know, I was at the game on Saturday with a mutual acquaintance of ours, and we just talked about the last time this person was sitting in a certain place at Celtic Park. Was the night we lost on penalties to Valencia.
Oh, yeah.
Which Rangers went through that night, or the night before, or the night after. They went through against Feyenoord in extra time, and we went out to Valencia in penalties. And although we'd gone out, I remember coming into work the next day and speaking to a Rangers fan and saying, one of us will be in a European final in the next 5 years. Because I just sensed that. I mean, they got a result against Feyenoord, and okay, we'd been knocked out by Valencia, but we could have easily gone through. Yeah. And it suddenly just made me realise we can compete with those teams, and that's exactly how I feel tonight, that we're a Champions League team tonight. Over two legs, we competed with Bayern Munich. I know they took the foot off the gas a wee bit at 2-0 at Celtic Park, right? But the way that they reacted when we made it 2-1, they had no ability to come back from that. I still live in the world of if that first goal inside the first minute had been given.
Mm.
Looking at Vincent Kompany's face tonight, every time the camera panned to him at 1-0.
Oh, it was ashen. Yeah, it was ashen. Yeah.
That's a guy, I'm not sure they could have coped with Celtic being 1-0 up inside a minute at Celtic Park.
No, I'm not convinced. And the energy that Celtic would have been kind of infused with from that goal, But even if you look at it, look at the margins. I know we always talk about the margins, but Celtic should have had a penalty last week. I don't care what anyone says. If you're stamped on and you're unable to carry on your movement in the box, that's a penalty. And tonight, I just watched it. I've just saw it back. It's getting sent around a few chat groups.
Yeah.
Maeda is yanked by the neck.
Mm-hmm.
He's yanked by the neck in the lead up to this goal. And we talk about
the thing is, VAR never goes that far back when they're reviewing these types of decisions.
But it's supposed to be the APP, the attacking phase of play. And that was very much the attacking phase of play because it took Maeda out, who's one of the... He was, at that point, he was tracking back and helping out. He was defending at that point.
Yeah, yeah. So
therefore, and probably where he was, he might have somehow kind of stopped that cross or at least influenced...
We would have had two players down that side of the pitch. Particularly because you're in the final 30 seconds of the game. So, you know, he'd have tracked back and, yeah.
Yeah, but it's always going to be these what-ifs, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's the nature of football. The overriding thing you take out of this is Brendan Rodgers is a fucking brilliant football manager.
Yeah. There's a great piece in, I don't know if we're allowed to advertise, other websites are available, but Celts are here. Very good writer, the guy. I don't know him at all, but Ross. But it was a great. He wrote a great piece today about Brendan Rodgers, and he said all that. It's a different Brendan Rodgers in the sense of he's embracing the limitations and embracing the kind of imaginative ways that he can actually kind of counter those kind of limitations. There was a lot of his first time around. It was a lot of like, well, we can't compete. We can't compete. Now he's got a wee taste of it and thinking, hold on a minute, as he was talking there, he's established a template that allows Celtic to compete. So it's there's a flexibility to them that they can be a threat, but they can be compact. You know, it used to always be one or the other. Now he's somehow managed to kind of fuse those two elements together. And that's potent. That's potent. And you know what I take away? Once you've got over the kind of really the kind of gut punch, what is it that Tony Hamilton used to always, his phrase was, he said it's like a kick in the balls with a diver's boot. That's what that that's what that goal was like. It was like a kick in the balls with a diver's boot. But do you know what I look when I see the bigger picture? It's like, my God, I've never felt more confident about Celtic negotiating a Champions League qualifier than I feel about the one that will roll around in August. And when that Champions League qualifier is negotiated, Celtic will be in the Champions League four seasons in a row for the first time. They've never done four consecutive seasons. And it just shows you the growth mindset. It just shows you these players, okay, it's not a core, it's changed quite a lot. But look at the likes of Cameron Carter-Vickers and McGregor and Johnston. Look at them all. They look comfortable at this level. Whereas in those early seasons, you thought you still had the odd night when it's like, whoa, you know, like they're just getting a wee bit exposed. I thought Alistair Johnston, particular tonight, I thought he was immense.
I've said on this podcast a number of times that in the past few seasons, Alistair Johnston, great player, and at Champions League level, I've then realised why he's a £6 million player playing for Celtic and he's not a £12 million player for somebody else.
And
it was in part it would be the camera would pan to his face and he would look like I think I've said before, like somebody in, you know, gets transported in some sort of disaster movie or some sci-fi movie where they suddenly find themselves, you know, what was it, Quantum Leap, when the guy would suddenly find himself on the deck of the Titanic and he'd be like, what are we doing here? But you're right, this season, and I've often felt that about the players, it's about having the belief that we talk down, and Scottish football isn't great, but we talk down Scottish football so much that when they get into a position where the minute they go behind in the Champions League, it's almost like, well, I knew we didn't belong here. You know, and again, some people malign Callum McGregor. See, for me, one of the best indications of what a quality a player he is, every one of the players, when we're in a defensive position and they are looking for an out ball, they gave it to Callum McGregor.
Yeah. And they all, almost, and even the ones that are not giving it to Callum McGregor are looking at him to see where he's pointing for where they pass it. You know, it really is a kind of conductor role. It really is a conductor role. But let's face it, like this, Celtic might lose a couple of players, but they're not going to lose five or six in the summer. That wouldn't be allowed to happen. They might lose a couple, but this is the core of the team. There's a squad that's going in to next season's Champions League qualifiers, plus additions. I think we've got more nights like this to look forward to, potentially.
Yeah, and you know, in terms of looking forward to, obviously, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, right, okay, what might change? Well, Kasper Schmeichel's going to stay there. Kieran Tierney's coming in. I'm not that sure we're going to get a blow out of the water we can't resist offer for one of Trusty, Carter Vickers and Johnson. So that's a pretty solid back five unit that you've got there with the possibility that you add to it. Then Callum's going to stay. And okay, you've got to be aware of the fact that next year will be a year older than he is just now, but Callum's going to stay. Engels will be here for at least next season as well. He obviously ran out of legs towards the end of the game, but I thought in the first half in particular, I thought Engels was excellent again.
He's really, his growth, as we're talking about this growth mindset, his growth in the last couple of months, it's been exponential, I think. You've seen there's plenty of people saying, why have Celtic spent £9 million on him? And myself and my son were saying in the last couple of weeks ago, he looks more than a £9 million player now.
Absolutely.
You're not doubting that purchase.
And then,
which is a lot of money for Celtic and remains so.
So might Hatate move on? I don't think we're going to get the 10, 12, 14 million pound offer that Hatate might like for his services. But I wouldn't be surprised if he moved on, because I know he's wanted to move each of the last two summers.
I know.
There's a player who might go. I wouldn't be stunned if Kuhn moved on.
No, he's the one. He's the one that might look to cash in his chips.
And I know he scored the goal, but there's a part of me that says, well, you know, I do sometimes think Kuhn's got one thing, and that's to be out on the left cut inside and have a brilliant shot.
You know? I know. We've talked about that before.
Yeah, yeah. So the point I'm making is, you're right, I think you can see there might be a couple of players go, but as things stand, you would like to think, well, I mean, basically my attitude would be, give the manager in terms of his personal salary and in terms of the squad, whatever he wants this summer.
Yeah.
To stay beyond this coming 12 months. And
that's the other thing. Nights like this, you know, nights like this will keep him. Keep him interested. It'll keep him interested. Because he might think to himself, well, next season, could we get last 16? It would need to come via playoff. I'm not saying, don't think anybody's saying that Celtic will finish in the top eight, but could we get last 16? God, if a result or two had gone a wee bit differently, and I even mean if they'd got a point less, i.e. if they'd have lost in Atalanta, or then they could have faced somebody like Brest, I think, or something, wasn't it? They certainly could have had an easier draw than they were handed.
Talking of draws, I think I said on this podcast that I know someone who, you know, looks at stuff for Celtic, that when we still had Bruges, Zagreb, Young Boys and Aston Villa to play, those four teams, this person said to be the best team out of the lot is Bruges. They're better than Villa. We could get something. I remember them saying, we should beat Young Boys, really, really should be looking to win in Croatia, and we are capable of getting something down at Villa. Our biggest threat will be Bruges.
Yeah,
and they proved it tonight with the result against Atalanta.
Yeah, that was a terrible penalty they got in their favour in the first leg, it has to be said. A really shocking, shocking decision that went for them, which turned their tie. Again, these things, I'm not taking anything away from them to go to, we know how hard that is to go to Bergamo or whatever, but it gave them that platform. But it's been a blast, and people keep saying, oh yeah, this new format suits Celtic. No, I think it suits a Champions League where I've seen far more enjoyable games to yeah. this stage. Normally, it's like yeah. We're waiting for it kind of coming alive. Normally, comes alive at the last 16 stage. Nobody can say that there hasn't been life in so many games to this point. As I say, maybe the bigger clubs won't like it because there is a little bit more jeopardy than they maybe expected. And clearly, Man City or Real Madrid, and you'd have to think it's Man City, are going out tomorrow night. So there's one.
Yeah, but again, I keep getting back to the, having watched it, the Apple documentary about the Super League. It is so revealing because they speak to all the key players, and I just went away from that thing, because the big thing that the big clubs were saying that they were wanting, because I did think, well, you partly contributed to the setup the way the Champions League was, where you had it seeded so that you were guaranteed to be able to get through. But more recently, well, the point they were making was their fans are bored of it, and the group stages are a waste of time for them for the very point of. They wanted it because it works too well. Yeah, because it works too well.
And their gerrymandering works too well.
Yeah, so what they wanted was more competitive games where the elite teams played each other. And then the whole reason it felt... They knew the Germans would be difficult to get on board because of their 50% plus one rule.
Yep.
But they felt if they could get everybody else, the Germans would eventually have to fall into place because eventually you would just have to join it. And then they didn't because the English. But the biggest reason for the English was the lack of a proper pyramid system within it. And you just watch that and you think, right, okay, you're just going to keep going at this until you create a wide enough base that clubs like Celtic have got a chance of getting into it, but clubs like Real Madrid are in it every season. You're just going to fiddle about it until you get
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
And that's this season... Yeah, and this season's... But, of course, UEFA are trying to give them what they want without their breakaway league. So this season, I'm looking at the Champions League, the Europa League and the Conference League, and I'm thinking, we're 50% there with what they want. We've already got a Premiership, a Championship and a First Division with those three leagues. That's true. I was speaking to someone last week and I was saying, I can see those three leagues, and they're saying, yeah, because it's now just a power play between FIFA and UEFA for these clubs to get what they want. And the general gist of what they were suggesting was, because I was saying I thought we might go to 10 games instead of 8, stick an extra couple of games in. Because the more games the elite teams play, the fewer, if they've only got a handful of games, they can get a bad luck in the draw and end up like Man City and Real Madrid. But if they get an extra couple of games... Those extra couple of games are likely to just push them a wee bit further up the table. Anyway, I said I could see it go to 10 games in those three leagues, and then eventually, they were talking about, and within 5 years, a Saudi team will get to qualify for it as well. But based on that, I thought, and again, earlier, I used to watch Champions League games and then our games in European football, and the Champions League games were played at a different pace and all the players seemed to be closer together on the pitch. And I used to think, well, they play a different sport. This season, we've played the same sport as them. And then I've watched the Europa League on a Thursday night and thought, wow, that's a different sport. It's played at half the pace and the players are further apart in the park.
Yeah. Although tonight was strangely, it wasn't played at any kind of great pace. They're a strange team, Bayern Munich. I wouldn't actually fancy them necessarily in the next round if they get, whether it's Atletico or Bayer Leverkusen. I don't think
they're either of those two teams. Are either of those two teams as good as Celtic?
Well, that's where it started. To be honest with you, that's where it started. That's what I thought. Something's stirring here. I thought the way they played against Rodgers Celtic, the way they played against Atletico Madrid last year, at home, of course, not away. Yep. But you thought, whoa, they're back in the game, because it didn't really look that way. And again, it was the first time in a while, and it was a kind of relatively still kind of green side, if you like, with Postecoglou. But I know they played well against Real Madrid for an hour or whatever, but when you think about how sluggish they were against Shakhtar Donetsk at home, you might look at... But I think there's several notches. This Celtic team is several notches ahead of anything we've watched in recent times. And it's, fair play to them, that O'Neill and Lennon stood there and said that. You know, they were so magnanimous. You know, they're not kind of thinking, well, I took them. O'Neill could say, well, I got Celtic wins over Juventus and, you know, like...
To a European final.
And took them at a European final. Or you could get Lennon saying, I took them in the last 16 and beat Barcelona. But no, the two of them are saying this is one of the best, especially away performances, because they didn't really have that much. I know, like, Lennon had his away win, but it wasn't a kind of top five nation team. But the two of them, they recognised what they were watching. I think there was almost a kind of, they were kind of boggle-eyed about the fact that, wow, this is Celtic looking so assured in the Allianz Arena. You know, and of course, Bayern had most possession. I saw the start there where we heard they're talking about Schmeichel had 9 saves, but there was about 5 of them about Kepers. Just
the other thing was, I'm not sure about the stats, because there was a stat towards the end of the first half that had number of shots and shots on target, and it's Celtic shots on target 0. And I'm thinking, apart from the one where the guy cleared it off the line after Kuhn knocked it past Neuer but just didn't put any pace on it. I mean, unless that was an optical illusion, that was going in the back of the net and the guy cleared it off the line.
That was so frustrating. That, to me, was the chance. I know that there's others talked about, and I was surprised at how kind of what little composure that McGregor showed, especially when you think of what he did on Saturday, but not to even get that on target when you're through in the keeper.
The other one was Maeda's one, where he tried to sort of, he saw Neuer was off his line, and when you saw that from behind the goal, actually, and how much space was around him, you realised, actually, he could have taken that down, taken an extra couple of touch and got closer in.
Yeah.
And then...
They did lack a little bit of composure. I think they were maybe shocked at these openings appearing with such frequency, when you think about it, in the first 20 minutes. And Bayern really hadn't caused Celtic any great kind of threat at that point.
It was one of those things where a typical Celtic away from home in Europe, you're thinking, we started this not too bad. I mean, they've got a lot of pressure, and then you're looking at the clock and it's like 6 minutes gone.
I know.
Oh God, it's only 6 minutes gone. God, when's half time coming?
Honestly.
But then around about 19, 20 minutes, that was the point where suddenly we've had a couple of chances and we get a couple more, and you're thinking, wait a minute, we're doing all right here.
And you kind of waited for, there'll be that break, and they'll just slice you open, they'll score, and you'll go, look, that early kind of promise just evaporates. But it never came. It never really came. Because if you think about it, I mean, remember Celtic went 1-0 up in the Parc des Princes against PSG before losing 7-1. They went 2-0 up in the San Siro against AC Milan. I know that wasn't in the big cup, but I just mean in Europe in recent years, and lost 4-2. But no, that kind of course the momentum shifted. And of course, when Celtic scored, let's be honest about it, they didn't really have another opportunity. Bayern did crank it up, and Celtic were just trying to get to extra time. So you always felt that there could have been the moment. It was just such a kind of shitty goal to lose when it came.
I know. But, you know, you've got those two twin emotions, one in each shoulder. One is just incredible pride at what a fantastic performance we put in, how great all the players were. And then there's the other bit where you're going, oh, but if only we got the goal in the first leg in the first minute, if only we got the penalty in the first leg at Celtic Park, and both of those, you know, could have been. And then tonight, you know, those chances, and then the foul in Maeda just before their goal. I think you just have to look at it and go, do you know what? We were brilliant, and sometimes that happens in football.
Yeah.
And we were just fantastic.
Yeah. It wasn't one of those nights where you're really regretful and rueful.
Yeah.
Because there's so much to commend. that that suppresses those kind of negative emotions. The positive emotions, I think, are far greater than all any of the kind of negative elements. There was just too much that was too good about what, and I would say that probably about the entire campaign. And as you say, in retrospect, you think, God, we didn't play particularly great against Bruges, but they're obviously an adept side. Yeah. An adept side. You know, Celtic have had a European campaign where they've gone to Germany and not lost. They've gone to Italy and not lost. These countries tended to be no-go zones for Celtic, by and large. In the whole 63 years they've competed in Europe, these are no places they go and don't lose.
And, you know, Brendan always made the point, and I sort of, obviously, I'm a Brendan fan, so I'm obviously going to agree on this. But Brendan,
you know, I am. Like, I wrote the piece afterwards saying, stick with them, like, after the week after for Celtic Underground.
Yeah, no, but the Dortmund thing really was one of those occasions where they had seven chances and scored seven goals. And I know that's, you know, that's the nature of football, but you know, the point of the XG of Atalanta was the same as the XG of Dortmund.
Yeah.
But it was just one of those nights where sometimes that happens. And you had people getting very frustrated that Brendan hadn't changed the team mid-game to come up with some tactical genius move to suddenly have 15 players on the pitch to deal with it and whatever. But
where's our four strikers? Where's our four strikers? We want those four strikers. Why do we not sign four strikers and put them on the pitch and get 15 men on?
But, you know, you just, everything about our performance in in this Champions League run has been, and tonight, you know, Brendan talked about the Maeda goal was great because it kept us in the tie, and my God, did it keep us in the tie, because we were in the tie until, what would it be?
100
about the 200th minute.
29th minute or something.
Yeah, 200 minutes of two games.
Oh, sorry, 200 minute, aye, God.
You know, aye. I mean, to be in the tie right up until that point is against Bayern Munich.
Yeah, and what he talked about was credibility. And he's right. Credibility, Celtic's credibility at the top level of European football has been restored. And it's taken a bit of a battering, and even with another one of those 7-1s. But, you know, as you say, that's an outlier. That's an outlier in the 10 games that they played. 10 games in Europe. And they lost. They only lost to kind of teams from the top five leagues, you know. Even doing that now, it's only 3 years ago. Last month, they were losing 5-1 to Bodo Glimt in the Conference League playoff, which is the heaviest aggregate defeat Celtic have ever suffered in Europe to a team outside of the top five leagues. That's only 3 years ago. I'm right in saying that. Is that 3 years ago?
So this season then, obviously last season under Brendan, year before under Ange, and the year before under Ange. So if you don't count this season 3 years ago, eh?
Yeah, yeah. So was it January 2022? I think that was the last time my daughter, I managed to drag her along a football game. We were up actually where I'm sitting, and you know, in the kind of quite close to it, and there was as many nutters, right? And she was only 15 at the time, and the guy ran forward. We were right at the, you know, the platform of the kind of the upper tier of the Rangers End. Sorry, I can never remember Jock's team, Lisbon.
No, I still call them Celtic End and Rangers End.
So I think when they won 3-1, didn't they, Celtic Park, Bodo Glimt, and they were looked a really adroit side. But I think it was when the second goal went in, this guy ran forward, right? He ran forward, and she says, "What's he going to do, Dad? What's he going to do, Dad?" And he leant over the bar at the front and just went, "Cunts!" And that's all she remembers of it, like late stage football watching in the flesh.
Yeah, quality. quality insightful.
But what's that? You know what I mean? That's like, that's a world apart from where they are now.
It's just, it's controlled aggression would probably be the best way to put it.
And I mean,
knowing when to press and
The triggers for the press and, like, I mean, Anil was just, his jaw was dropping, the very fact that as you say, just the rhythm in the press was so good. You know, it wasn't one person going or two people going, and then they'd just play through the lines, as we've seen before. Four or five, poof. And it's quite, it's brave. He asked for bravery. He said he wanted them to play with bravery. By God, they did all of that and more.
Yeah, and one of the things that, you know, I was looking at Bayern stuff, one of the things that Ewan Murray of The Guardian often talks about whenever there's some Celtic fans bleating on about the gap between us and someone like Bayern Munich, Ewan will always then say, well, that's the same for the other clubs in Scottish football compared to Celtic. No, it's not. Because Celtic's turnover last year was, or the revenue was 1.1 million quid. Bayern's was a billion. It's pretty much 9-1 the difference. And I think, Hibs' latest figures were 22 or something like that. So, okay, there is a gulf, but the gulf between us and Hearts and Hibs and Aberdeen is 5-1. The gulf between us and Bayern is 10-1, 9-1.
Well, depends how you what metric you use. Because I looked up their wage bill, and their wage bill is 4 times Celtic, and Celtic's wage bill is 4 times Aberdeen's.
Neuer,
60.
Neuer's salary is the same as, and I have this from excellent authority. Neuer's salary is the same as the players on the pitch, and our subs tonight.
Right.
So yeah.
And ultimately, I suppose he'll say, well, in a two-legged, like Celtic might get run close if there was such a thing as a two-legged cup competition in Scotland, might get run close the odd time, but they'd still probably prevail. And ultimately, we have to accept Bayern prevailed.
Yeah, but the point I'm making is there is a greater disparity between us and Bayern than those teams. And so, give us some credit. It's a fantastic performance.
And he will. And I have to defend you and here.
He doesn't need any defending.
He will give Celtic credit.
I know he will. I know.
He will.
So that was our Champions League performance for this season.
We're going to miss it. We're going to miss it. We're dropping into the Europa League now.
It's really, actually, I now think, I watched the Europa League games the other night, and apart from, was it Roma Porto? Did they play each other?
They did.
See, apart from that tie, I'm watching every other game thinking, we beat these teams home and away. Every one of them. And so, you know,
my boy was watching the Feyenoord. Well, we were both watching it. It was actually a great game, actually, watching the AC Milan Feyenoord tie. Because he said, I want to see an underdog winning, because then it would be the night of the underdogs. And of course, he got that with Feyenoord. But he was watching the tournament. We'd beat both of these. And that was even before they played Bayern.
Well, actually, if you think about it, what we did this season in the Champions League is the equivalent of finishing third in the previous setup in terms of where we were.
21st time.
We'd have dropped into the Europa League. And honestly, we'd wiped the floor with these teams. I mean, having watched the Rangers games in the Europa League and having watched some of the games the other night, I'd genuinely be looking for us to have a chance of winning that competition. We are just so much better than them. And now they've got rid of us dropping into that league.
Can we bring it back? Can we get a booby prize? A special honour?
Can we just bring it back just for us? Just so that we can prove that actually we could... My whole theory that we could reach a European final
for services
in the next 10 years.
Valour in the Allianz.
Yes. But yeah, I'm now looking at it going, right, okay. Do you know, one of the reasons I want Rangers to lose games now is just because I just want the league finished as quickly as possible. Because everybody knows we're going to win it, so can we just win it as quickly as possible?
Yeah, get then Dan Murray, get some game time for some young guys.
Then if we can just speed up the Scottish Cup, and then let's go again at the Champions League. That's where I'm sort of at with it.
Understandably so. Nobody's ever won 13 out of 14 titles before. We're not saying it's getting predictable, but...
I mean, I say all this. We're away Hibs. Is it Hibs?
Yeah.
On Saturday. And Brent does not get a fantastic record at Easter Road.
He's not. He's not. I think it was... was that the last... No, I think the last ground he cracked was it St Mirren Park. But in his first spell, he didn't win it, Easter Road or St Mirren Park, but he's ticked them all off now.
He didn't win at Tannadice either, but that's because he never played at Tannadice.
Oh, right, aye.
in fact... last week was Brendan's first victory over Dundee United.
Right.
He's only ever played him twice.
Oh, right, of course, aye. Yeah.
I would have sympathy for the team after that, for whatever performance we put in on Saturday.
You could see a 1-1 draw or something, couldn't you? It's one of those ones.
You could see a situation where there's a number of those players don't play. On Saturday, with the energy,
he's brilliant, and it was great that when he flicked it past them to set up one of the chances. But I thought you saw he still has to get the intensity of his game.
Yeah, so he might play on Saturday because again he came off after 70 minutes, and they're trying to build up his fitness. So you could see possibly him playing on Saturday.
Couldn't play.
Maeda might play just simply because he plays all the time. Should be able to start on Saturday.
Yeah, you would think Ida would play. I would imagine McCown will come in for Hattati or Engels maybe.
And I suppose that's one of the things you would look at the bench tonight and say the Bernardo and James Forrest injuries were just at the wrong time.
Yeah, I actually thought to myself, I know it doesn't always kind of deliver the way that you're enthused about Bernardo coming on with his energy, and sometimes he struggles actually to get to grips with the game, but you felt it was a night where he could have come on and with a wee bit of kind of running, a wee bit of running power, it would have been helpful at that point.
Yeah, I just felt, and you can just imagine the experience of James Forrest in the last 10 minutes, if he'd have come on instead of Yang. I mean, the only thing is, you're looking at those two players and, they then got to... But, that's the challenge. So neither of them are fit. So it's really, who comes in, and it's really probably, as you say, Luke McCown for Hattati. But Hattati and Engels both looked out on their feet in the last 10 minutes of the game. So
they did.
It'll be interesting to see how the manager manages that.
Yeah, because he's got Aberdeen on Tuesday night again. So this is the last one, isn't it? The last kind of midweek.
That's it, and I suppose you might rest the players, rest some players. You could see Greg Taylor coming in on Saturday and Tony Ralston playing on Saturday.
You could. Ralston played well actually last Saturday.
He did, and I like Tony Ralston. I think in terms of who are we going to get, I mean, look at Greg Taylor. He's going to leave Celtic because he doesn't want to be a number two left back. It is a challenge.
It is a challenge. And Schlupp, his wage means he's not going to be considered.
Well, the only thing is, he's at the end of his contract with Palace and he's 32.
Yeah.
What's his salary going to be somewhere else? We're going to have maybe a championship team or something like that?
Made the odd mistake that Taylor would get Miller for, but you did notice his greater physicality.
Yeah.
Being advantageous to Celtic.
I think that's why he played.
It was right for me to play. I did predict a team in my piece, if you bothered
to. I know, yeah, you did. And I think, it was pretty reasonable. I think most people, that's what they were expecting the manager to do. The manager obviously gave a massive hint based on the team that played against Dundee United. You could sort of read into that and go, right, okay, I can see who's going to be playing in Bayern.
These are good times. Yeah,
it's just incredible being a Celtic supporter just now. It really is.
Yeah, maybe everybody we know should really appreciate it. Where's that striker?
Yes, exactly.
We should We should line up people like you know, what camp are you in? Are you in the camp that goes, "Where's that striker?" Or your camp says, "Actually, like this is shit hot right now." Like, and obviously we all have our mumps and moans, and we should have perhaps handled it better over the window. But my God, let's not allow that to sour what is a great period.
Do you know, it's only in the last 20, so I am 55 this year, right? And it's only in the last 20 years of my life that I've realised there are so many moany gets support Celtic. I grew up where everybody I knew had similar outlook to me, particularly sort of 90s when we were rubbish. I remember once commenting that was it the principle inbred of the school, of the Catholic schooling, that you're made to have faith in this thing that logic tells you shouldn't exist, but you believe in it anyway. Did that then, you know, in the same principle, logic tells you that Celtic are shit, but you still believe that they're going to win the league, you know, that sort of thing. And so I just assume that all Celtic supporters, every single Celtic game, I expect Celtic to win. Everyone. As the whistle's about to blow, it's 11 against 11, we might win this. I've always been like that. And it's only in the last sort of 15, 20 years, as I've then engaged with people online, that I've then realised that there are a lot of people who don't, you know, every silver lining has a cloud for many people.
Yeah.
It just takes me aback. Yeah. Particularly just now, when how lucky we are to be supporting Celtic right now.
Is it people just scared to kind of give in to kind of the kind of enjoyment? Is it soft to just? I mean, it's been quite a year for me coming back to being a kind of supporter and sitting in the games. But even on Saturday, I took my boy in a supporters bus for the first time, and there's still. I said, I can't believe this. We got in the bus, and it was like, oh, my name is Joe McDonald. I said, like, I haven't been in a supporters bus since 1987, and it was the same song. That was. But the hat for the driver and all, this subculture, it's just it's a beautiful subculture, you know. And like to watch them on Saturday, my boy says, I think this might be a born game. Then they score three goals, like they score. They're giving you something every week, every game almost. It's not always the most scintillating football just because of the circumstances, but there's something about this team.
Dundee United game on Saturday was a stereotypical example of they came to offer absolutely nothing. I mean, genuinely, they came to give nothing but not get a doing. And actually, all three of our goals were excellent goals. I mean, Eder's actually, I think, comes from a poor first touch. I don't think he means to play the ball where he does. But by playing it just slightly further away, it then meant actually he had a bit of momentum going into it to then hit it.
But they've scored some great goals. In the last month, even if these might be workaday domestic fixtures. You know, you've come away kind of, you've had some kind of, you've been able to kind of derive some kind of entertainment. And that's a mark of them, you know, that's a mark of this team.
I don't know, one of the WhatsApp groups where somebody who every silver lining has a cloud is in it. We're talking about the company, and I said, look, we're still in the tie. And me and Eddie Pearson were both saying the same thing. We've got the better manager here. And that makes a difference. We've got one of the best coaches in European football. And that makes a difference of lifting the players.
It did make a difference. You could see that today. I thought he was exposed, company.
Yeah. Like I say, when the camera kept... Yeah. That was a man with a very dry mouth in the last 10 minutes. He's watching his team getting beaten and not, you know.
He fell on his arse literally, but almost figuratively as well.
So that's the game. Incredible performance.
Oh, yeah, we'll remember it. You know, and it was like, I know it doesn't make any difference because they're still out, but they went to the Allianz and came within 40 seconds of winning. You didn't lose in it, you know?
Well, there's my other bugbear. The ball went in the back of the net 3 minutes and 12 seconds with 4 minutes of injury time. And then we restarted and played 12 seconds of injury time. And I know, you know, what extra would we have done in 30 seconds?
They were just trying to hoist it up.
The answer's nothing, but it's just that real, oh, if we just had those extra 30 seconds, you'd never know.
It's one of those nights, if we just, but my God, wasn't it great watching the if we just?
Oh, it was just, it makes a difference from, what was his name? Was it Ren away with the pass back? Past Fraser Foster.
Oh yeah, was that
the Korean right back?
Chaduri
passes it to Fraser Foster, except Fraser Foster's somewhere else. It makes a change. It makes a change in going out of Europe because we've had one of those goals against us.
Yeah, yeah.
So we've got Hibs on Saturday. What's the score going to be, Andrew?
I'm saying, you wouldn't be surprised if it's like in a 1-1. I mean, I think Hibs was unbeaten in 11 or something. Like one of their longest runs of the last decade.
Yeah.
So, and it's not a venue that Celtic necessarily kind of lord it at, as we've said. So, but I think they'll be, even if they're tired and all that, they'll be feeling good about themselves. You could see even in the bench, they were feeling good about the being part of it. Even if
I suppose the other benefit is this is a Tuesday night game. They'll be in their beds tonight by 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning.
I'm saying 2-1 at Celtic.
Yeah, day off tomorrow, train Thursday, Friday, game. Yeah, right. Okay, I'll go with that, 2-1 Celtic.
Yeah.
All right, and with that, Andrew, I'll say thanks very much.
Thanks very much.
Here we go.
Bring me sunshine in your smile.
We hope you enjoyed that podcast. There will be more along soon. Please share the joy of Celtic Underground. Rate us wherever you can find us on your podcast provision. And also subscribe to thecelticunderground.substack.com. As you'll be aware, there are two types of subscription. There's free subscription, where you get a certain amount of content delivered directly to your email address. And then there's a paid-for subscription, where you get even more content delivered directly to your email address as and when it comes out. Anyway, enough of me. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. And this is me, Harry Brady, saying goodnight and God bless. Good night.
Bring me sunshine in your smile. Bring me laughter all the while. In this world where we live, there should be more happiness. So much joy you can give to each brand new bright tomorrow. Make me happy through the years. Never bring me any tears. Let your arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love, sweet love. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love.